With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, Bomb Squad. If you're a comedian or a podcaster looking for an affordable website solution with a modern look, then we recommend Pucks Hub. With a Pucks Hub website, you can set up your new website in minutes with easy-to-use pre-built templates. Pucks Hub websites are customizable and can easily be integrated with other platforms like Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. The best part? Pucks Hub plans are only $5 per month. We use Pucks Hub for our website at the Art of Bombing podcast, and we think you should too. That's why we've partnered with Pucks Hub to offer listeners a free 60-day trial. Head over to PucksHub.com to subscribe and use promo code AOBPOD at checkout for your 60-day free trial, and then pay only $5 per month after that. Take your career to the next level with your own Pucks Hub website today.
Dan Bublitz Comedy Productions.
My friend Dan, he's got a podcast, 'cause all comics need a podcast, and nobody had a podcast called The Art of Bombing. So Dan went out and bought a tape deck. Who knows why he bought a tape deck? Podcasts don't get played on tape decks, but Dan is from the 80s. So hey there, all you funny jerks, come talk to Dan about your work. Tell him all about your worst times. It's The Art of Bombing.
Welcome to a brand new episode of The Art of Bombing Presents Between Bombs Callbacks. This week, Josh and I are calling back episode 275 with Mark Masters. Before we get into that, how you doing, Josh?
Good. I am on the road. I'm telling jokes, but not in clubs. I'm telling them to people I'm training.
Doing the jokes to the people you're training.
That's right.
That's right. That's because that's what you do for your day gig, right? You're like a marketing, sales training person. Like,
yeah, I train. I coach salespeople.
Okay, you're a coach. How to be?
Yeah. So we, you know, get about 30 people together in a room, and I teach them stuff for a day and a half. I'm in Chicago doing a day and a half long. You can call it a seminar for people who aren't familiar with it. That'll probably set in what it is.
Nice. Nice. So that is still like, that is comedy related in a sense, because you're right. You get to test out some, you can throw some jokes at them and see if you're cracking them up, but also it's just good practice because that means if you're coaching, you're doing public speaking, and that's always good. It's always, you know, any kind of public speaking helps, you know, with that tool, you know, practicing. It's like almost like being at the gym. You're working out those tools.
It's a very complementary business to comedy, meaning like one thing, like iron sharpens iron, like they both make the other thing better. So, you know, when I'm out, you know, writing jokes, I can use it at, you know, during my day job, but I can also use it at a comedy club at night, you know, and it kind of depends, right? You know, there's some things.
No, absolutely.
But it's, you know, there's so many similarities, you know, like just being able to do crowd work and deal with the audience and get to a place where people feel like they're part of it. They have some kind of ownership over what's happening, I think, is both true in comedy to get people pulled into the material, the content that you have. So like, just like in a real comedy show. I have content and material that I need to get into, but it's really wasted if I don't have an engaged crowd. So there's things I got to do to engage the crowd. It's very similar, man. I could do a whole thing on the on why.
Yeah, no, I believe that. Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. You need to be engaging. You know, and it's funny that you mentioned that, because we talked about that. I don't remember. I don't know if it was the last week's episode or the week before, but we talked about that, being able to engage your audience. I think with when we talked about emceeing, that's part of it, and it is an important part. If you can't get the audience engaged, it's going to be hard to get them to pay attention. Yeah. And that, that rings true for public speaking and coaching and all that stuff. So,
yeah.
You know who else is engaging? Mark Masters.
Masters.
Yeah. And that's who was on this week's episode of The Art of Bombing. And that's which episode we're calling back. If you haven't listened to the episode yet, this would be a good time to just hit pause.
Yeah.
And
hit pause.
Go listen to it. We'll wait for you.
We'll be here when you get back, guys.
That's right. We'll be here.
All right. Yeah. You must have loved it. So now that you're all caught up on the show, the next, 20 some odd minutes will make some sense.
Absolutely. Now you're going to have more. You're going to have the context for what we're about to talk about. One of the things we're going to talk about, we've talked about this before, and a couple of the things that we're kind of talking about and some of the things that might come up, we have talked about before, but we're going to go into a little bit of detail. But the first thing we are going to talk about is ticketing platforms, because that is becoming, something that comics are looking for when they're, promoting and producing their own shows. I will say we did a whole 3-part series that is available in the podcast feed, also available on YouTube, on how to produce your own show. Ticketing is covered in that. But along with that, there's a whole slew of things we covered, from marketing to booking to reaching out to venues, all those things. So, definitely go check that out after you're done listening to this. And that's available in the podcast feed, also on YouTube. But we're going to talk about ticketing platforms. One, I've seen a lot of people asking about what they should use for ticketing platforms. We talked a little bit about it with Mark. People use a variety. And I think, and even you do, we've talked about this before, because you use multiple platforms because each platform has their own way of marketing, and people rely on these particular platforms to find events. A good example of that is Eventbrite. Eventbrite is becoming, or kind of is, an industry standard for finding events. So by creating your event on there, they do their own marketing and people go to their website just to look for events. So it's a good way for people to discover your event.
That's right. Yeah. I'd say 5 or 6 years ago, it was, you had to really make sure your event was posted in so many more places than you do now. Almost, you can almost post it on Eventbrite and count on enough, sort of random marketing or promotion on their part to have people find it. It seamlessly integrates with Google. So when you do Google search, according to Eventbrite, this is what they say.
Yep.
I haven't gone in and checked it since the last time I did a show, but they say that when you post it there, it'll get posted on Google. So that's something something to think about. But yeah, I think Eventbrite is good, but you have to have, and we talk about this in that special episode, like you mentioned, people can go listen to what else you have to do to make sure that you can't just do that.
Yeah. Well, one thing I will say too, just before we move on about what, Eventbrite, that's nice too, is they have in addition to having their own marketing, you can also collect emails and do your own email marketing within Eventbrite, which is really good. If you have a WordPress website, I believe there are some plugins. There's also coding that you can get to incorporate Eventbrite into your website as well. Mm-hmm. You can get the HTML coding to put it right on your website. So it integrates really well with other websites. So that's a plus too, because then you can direct people to your website, thus helping boost your Google standings and your search ability in your web presence. And then they can still buy the tickets on Eventbrite.
That's right. And it's been several episodes, but I went over an example of having used Eventbrite and Brown Paper Tickets on the same show. And there were,
now,
we went into,
go ahead. Sorry.
We went into some benefits of that, right? So yep. I can see, so I handed out that link to different people. And yep. I said, okay, you know, use this. And I was able to track where a lot of those things came from, which I mentioned in a later episode. Just saying that Eventbrite, you don't have to use a totally different ticketing platform in order to get that benefit. You can just make multiple links, which mm-hmm. I still recommend you do if you use Eventbrite. But that does make the other marketing tools that you just mentioned a little harder to use. So you have to think about that when you're using Eventbrite. And they pay you timely. And you guys mentioned in the interview that there's a big difference. And so what I've seen lately is that Brown Paper Tickets takes about a month to pay you.
Yeah. And that's what I almost interrupted you there. And that's where I was going to be like, I just want to, you know, disclaimer, we're not endorsing, you know, any of these products. Yeah, you go and decide what you want to, but Brown Paper Tickets right now has kind of got a bad reputation. There's a lot of people that are getting mad because it's taking longer and longer to get their money. I have a show coming up this week, by the time this comes out, it would have been last week. So anyway, it doesn't matter. But I have I did a show where they used to use Brown Paper Ticketing for ticketing, but they haven't been paid out for their last two shows. And these are monthly shows. And so they've stopped using them and switched over to Eventbrite. So again, we're not endorsing any of these ticketing platforms. We're just telling you what's out there. You decide what you want to use, because none of them are sponsoring us. So,
So
keep that in mind.
that's an excellent point to make right before I say this, which is I've done just Eventbrite, and I've done Eventbrite and Brown Paper Tickets. When I've done them both, I have attracted a much bigger crowd. Now, there are probably a lot of other variables involved, meaning, you know, were the comics local? Did the comics promote? How well did the venue promote? What else was going on in town? There's lots of other things around mm-hmm. it that probably had something to do with it. I find it interesting, though, that when I have used both platforms, I have seen more ticket sales. And it could have something to do with the fact that both Brown Paper Tickets and Eventbrite have their own syndication network that they send your stuff to. And it does open things up, I think, to a wider audience. But you're absolutely right. You have to be willing to contend with really delayed payouts, especially on Brown Paper Tickets. And I've used it recently, and it took about a month. So those listening, just kind of be ready to front the money to your comics if you're going to do a show.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I will say this too. If, you know, with ticketing, if you are promoting shows on a regular basis and you're going to be doing your own ticketing on a regular basis, yes, using those sites in addition are great. And I've talked about this before on this podcast. What I do is my website is built through Wix. And I pay for an e-commerce website, which allows me now to, I can sell products on my website, which is great. So I can do like downloads. So I can sell my album on, you know, via download. I can also sell my game and all my other merch. And it's integrated with Printful for drop and ship. But I'm also able to sell ticketed. I'm also able to do ticketed events with the package that I have on Wix, paying for this e-commerce. So, and part of that, because I'm a registered, you know, LLC and I have all this stuff, I can then, you know, they have their own credit card processing as well. And so on my website, you can go to my website, buy tickets for my ticketed events that I'm producing directly from me. The fees are lower to your customers. That's another thing that's a benefit about that, is that the ticketing fees on your own website aren't going to be nearly as high
as like on Eventbrite. And then Wix, they have, and I'm sure there's other, Squarespace probably does this, other types of websites do this as well, but they have their own credit card processing as well. So as long as you're an actual business, you can then set up credit processing and do all the things right from your own website. And if you decide to do that, I still recommend setting up your event on those other places as well, and just don't promote them as hard, because that's what I do. I set up ticketing on my website. I also set it up on Eventbrite, but I promote the ticket link on my website. I just use the Eventbrite ends up becoming a passive way of getting the word out there, because, you know, people will find it on Eventbrite. People do buy tickets to my shows on Eventbrite. But again, most of my tickets come directly from my website, which is good because that means people are spending time on my website, which then helps my web presence. And, you know, helps it now when people are searching for comedy stuff in my area, the more, you know, people that's the more people spend on my website, the higher my search rankings are. So then I can get discovered that way, too. I know WordPress, they have their own event plugin as well. So you can sell directly from your website if you want to do that. But and another ticketing platform that I want to mention, I haven't looked much into it. They reached out to me about setting up shows on there. There's a new platform. It's based out of the UK, but it's coming into the US. It's called jokepit.com. They're a ticketing platform that is specifically for comedy. So they're marketing mostly just comedy. I'm sure there might be other events on there, but if you're looking for a ticketing platform just for comedy shows, that might be worth checking out. Again, we're not endorsing any of these products. We're just telling you
some stuff enough, that guys.
Exactly. We're just telling you what's out there.
Exactly. This episode was so full of great, you know, sort of short, good ideas. Like, it had a lot of things, not just about promoting and, you know, producing your own show, but I think it hits right in that zone where a lot of comics are, which is, okay, mm-hmm. I'm not necessarily headlining clubs. I don't feature clubs that often, but I just have my own business and I'm out on the road doing a lot of alt rooms. And there's a lot of different things that I have to do in order to make money to do that. And you know, you guys go into merch. So it's a really great episode for just getting a download on the things that you do in that space.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and with that, you know, we did talk about working the road quite a bit. And one of the things that came up was not relating to an audience in the sense that your material was too local. And what I mean by that, or regional, I would refer to it as regional humor as well. And that's where you come up in a scene, say Kansas City, that's where Josh is. And Josh, he's a new comic and writes a bunch of jokes about Kansas City. Then Josh gets his first road gig, goes to said road gig that is not in Kansas City, that's in, say, Missouri. Kansas City, Missouri. I forget that's a bad example. Let's go to Oklahoma.
But you go somewhere else. You're from a place. You learn
and you
stuff,
go somewhere else.
You go somewhere
exactly.
else.
That's, you go somewhere else.
We're on track now. Okay.
But you take those same jokes and you do them with those same references to said town, and they're not going to hit because the people can't relate, because they're not from said town. And then you end up bombing. And you got to be able to, you got to remember that if it, you know, and that's a good way to tell if your jokes are too local, you need to think about first, the way you can tell is when you tell a joke about, you know, whatever area it is in another area. And if it does not get a good response, then it's probably too local. But one of the things, it's a trick that a lot of road comics do. It, you know, you can say it's hacky or whatever, but you can write local jokes that are generic enough to where you can insert other places for the main whatever. So you could do a joke about, you know, a rivalry town, yes. And you can then take that joke. So you might have a rivalry town to your town and you're doing jokes and it's killing, well, then you go on the road, then you just got to do a little bit of research. You're, you know, who's the rivalry town to the place you're performing? And then instead of using your town as an example, you fit in the town you're performing and their rival, and then the joke still hits because it's even harder because now they get this local reference.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a great way to not only identify if you've got some local humor, and it may happen, you know, that your local humor is there and you don't know it. And the best way to know,
I've seen that happen.
Yeah, is to go and, like you said, try it. And if it doesn't work, then a lot of times you have to, you know, analyze whether or not the regional piece to it, you know, maybe gets taken out. But I also liked your suggestion of, okay, well, we can take and insert whatever makes it funny here. And I know traveling comics do that all the time. I have stuff where I do that, you know, so there are just some basic things that, that I've learned over the years, which is, you know, my, my sort of personal family stuff, like the things that are relatable the most are just about things that are ordinary to me as a person that have this, it carries out and resonates with people the closer they are, you know, to me.
Yeah.
But if there's certain things I can't do in small towns that I can do in big cities, and I've had to learn that, like, big cities, you can get away with a lot of dark humor in big cities. Like, it's just something that, I don't know if you've noticed.
Little towns, you're going to make them all sad.
That's right. Little town. Yeah.
They have empathy. Like
they have empathy there.
They're not dead inside.
Well, it could be not dead inside, but I think the other thing, Dan, is that people in smaller towns, it's not that they're not authentic. It's that they don't necessarily talk to each other about things that people do in close proximity. Like when I lived in New York City, like if a couple was going to fight on the subway, a whole subway heard it. Like you're in the middle of an argument and everybody just kind of lived with it. Like, because that's the same thing when you get home. It's the same thing in the hallway of your apartment building. It's everywhere. So people don't have these social walls that are constructed. You go to
a
small
good
town,
way to describe it. Social walls.
Exactly. But think about the space between human beings in a place like Leavenworth, Kansas. I mean, you're out there and there's just so much more room between you and the next family that the next family, like, you don't want to impose upon the next family and bother them with your stuff. So when you talk about things that might actually make people feel empathy, which is a great way to break that down, Dan, like, they feel empathy or sadness towards you, or sadness towards a specific thing, because that's how they've come around. So that's another example of how regionalism or localized humor can hurt you when you might not notice.
Yeah. And that's why I highly recommend, even if you're not at the level, if you're listening to this and you're a new comic and you're not at the level where you have enough material to, you know, go on the road and feature or, you know, that kind of thing, I still recommend, if you get the opportunity, go to another comedy scene and hit, even hitting some other open mics with your jokes, because it's still going to kind of give you a little bit of, you know, it's going to give you a little bit of a barometer of where you are regionally. You know, if you're getting some laughs on your jokes that you tell all the time that kill wherever you're from, but you go to another town and you're still getting, you know, close to those same laughs, you're probably good. Because you have to test, because that's the thing with comedy, you want it to be universal, and you want to be able, it's got to be universal so that you can go to a small town of 500 people and, or a big city of, you know, 800 million to, and do a show and crush with all your material, because that's when you know you're a good comic. And by doing that, it's being relatable, like what, you know, kind of what Josh was saying, having that relatable material. And I don't know if you would agree with this, Josh, but I feel like you would. I think one of the leading reasons comedians end up bombing, it's not because they're a bad comedian, it's not because they have bad jokes, it's not because they're a bad performer, it's because their jokes weren't relatable to that audience that they're in front of. And that could be a number of reasons. It could be because you're at a show and it's a bunch of single dudes and you're talking about kids, or you're in front of an audience that's, you know, an older audience and you're talking about new technology, or you're in front of a younger audience and you're talking about retirement, or, you know, there's a whole bunch of different things and variables that could be why you're not relatable. And again, one of the biggest reasons is because you're doing regional or local humor to your scene or wherever you're from, and people just don't get it in other towns.
That's right. Yeah, you have to we have a lot of material, a lot of episodes on this. Like, you have to understand your audience. Mm-hmm.
And yep, absolutely.
You have to have I think you make a great point. You have to have enough material where you can take the things that do apply to that audience, because you've written enough and you lived enough and you've been around enough where you can do it. And it sounds like, to tie this into the episode with Mark, I think you have, he talks about how much he loves doing small towns, you know, mm-hmm. and he's clearly a guy that's, you know, lived in, to me, it seems, you know, just the hearing him speak and all these, he prefers being around a lot of people. Like, he lives in, you know,
Denver.
I know he lives in Denver, but I just haven't tracked him to see where he's been at other places, or if he's always been there. I don't know.
But I got you. Yeah, where he was before Denver. That makes sense.
Sure. And yeah, by the way, what kind of accent does he have? Because he flattens out a lot of the as, that, like, his a vowel was like really flat. And he had a lot of flat. And the whole time I was like, why is he doing that?
I wonder if that's kind of an East Coast. I wonder if he's somewhere from the East Coast. Like,
so it may be
the, like, upper East Coast. Like,
it reminded me of, like,
Northeast, maybe.
You can hear, like, people from Boston doing that.
Yeah, that's why I said Northeast. Maybe not quite Boston, but that, like, that region.
Yeah, that.
Now
that
I'm curious. Now I got to find out.
Yeah, I'm reading his bio.
And I don't think it's in there, though. Because most comedians just do, you know, bios from, you know, wherever they're at this particular time.
Yeah.
But now I'm gonna text him to find out, because I'm curious about that. But I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I know. It's like, what, you know, I don't mean to rag on the guy. This seems... Like, I want to meet him, you know? He seems like a great guy.
Oh, absolutely.
But I did notice that. I was like, what? I noticed that. I'm like, what, where? Like, where are the rest of the people that do that? That you can't, like if I follow you home to Thanksgiving, is it going to be a bunch of that?
Right.
I don't know.
All right. I texted him to see. We'll see. I'm guessing Rhode Island. I don't know why. I don't know, just Rhode Island or Maine. Those are my guesses.
I don't know.
What do you got, really, Josh? What's your guess?
Okay, here's my guess.
We're probably both wrong.
He's from Denver. He's lived in Denver his whole life, but during his formative years of comedy, he watched a lot of Pete Holmes and listens to a lot of Pete Holmes's podcast. Oh. Pete Holmes does that. He has.
Yeah, but Pete Holmes is from Boston.
From Boston. I know. But.
Yeah, so.
So that's why I said Boston. I think there is a little of that there.
All right. Well, we'll see if, I don't know if he'll text us back before we get done recording, but
we'll have to put it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, there you go. The mystery will be solved by then. But anyway,
yeah, you'll have to tune in next week.
I love the episode with Mark Masters. Great, great insights for everybody. I think, you know, if you haven't already, go back, listen to it. You have a great time.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and go make sure you check out his comedy. He tours all over. He's got a book out. That's another interesting thing that he did. He wrote a book basically about his first year as being an open micer. The Art of Bombing actually gets mentioned in the book.
Yeah, it should.
I forget how it comes up, but it was in there. And before I even met him, somebody else who was a fan of the show pointed that out. They're like, hey, did you know somebody mentioned you in a book? And I was like, no, I did not. But that is really cool.
Yes, I found the book at Goodwill, actually, and I read it there.
Did you really?
No, that's what the person would say. Because so Mark had that great, like, you guys, it was a great
idea. I know, that's
idea.
Why I was hoping it was true.
He found it at a Goodwill. So what I do is I get my stuff, I sell it to the crowd, and then my crowd, like, takes my merch and, like, gives it to Goodwill, and then I pass through town on the way to the show. I buy my merch back at a reduced cost, take it back, sell it again.
Yeah, that's great. You know, I know other comics who have done that, who have written books. And what they'll do is they'll sneak into a bookstore, see their, you know, books, and then go in and sneak their signature, autograph them, and put them back on the shelf. Mm-hmm. Which I think that's really funny, too. All right. Well, you'll have to tune in next week to find out the mystery behind Mark Master's accent. We're looking into it. Next week, we have a great guest. I talked to a comedian who is based in Houston, Texas. I think that might be the first time I've talked to somebody based in Houston, Texas. But we talked to Shed Ham. We had a great conversation. This is a person who's been doing comedy for over 23 years. He's been, getting ready to release his own comedy special. He's filmed and directed other comedy specials for people, doing a lot of stuff on the production side of things, bunch of podcasts, all kinds of stuff. And so we really dived into a whole lot of different things. That's what's going to be coming up next week. So make sure you tune in next week to The Art of Bombing to hear that great conversation. And then, of course, next Thursday, we'll be back with the callbacks for that episode as well. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. And we'll talk to you next week.
This has been a Dan Bublitz comedy production. Roar.